You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Entrepreneurial Fit Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, this is Eric Dye and welcome to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. Entrepreneurial Fit Radio is your location for health and fitness information for the busy entrepreneur. And as we all know, without good health, you cannot be successful nor productive. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Mark Fishman, the CEO and founder of Oncology Analytics, that provides comprehensive oncology benefit management services in the areas of chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and genetic testing to health plans for its members and provider network. Dr. Fishman, a pleasure to have you with us today on the Entrepreneurial Fit Radio Show.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you very much.
And you're most welcome. So when and why did you start Oncology Analytics?
Well, the first concept of it started about 2004, but we incorporated in 2009 and have been operational since 2009. The reason I started Oncology Analytics is to address a need where there is inappropriate or poorly aligned incentives and the utilization of chemotherapy. And this started with Medicare's changing the reimbursement mechanism or parameters for chemotherapy on January 1st of 2005. And that's when I first started to think that the country's going to have a big problem with the cost of pharmaceuticals, because what we were seeing at that time was that the cost of pharmaceuticals were skyrocketing, nowhere near where the costs are now. But physician profitability on Medicare was approximately 6% of the cost. And what I was able to see is that some generic medications might cost $100 a month, and you'd get equal benefit from a brand name medication that might cost as much as $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a month. And obviously 6% of a large number is more than 6% of a small number. So I figured treating physicians would start to gravitate towards the use of far more expensive medications, and that turned out to be true. So fast forward a few years, I spoke with some colleagues, physicians I knew at health plans, and said, I think you're going to have this problem. And one of the physicians who I knew in practice became a senior medical director of a large health plan. And in 2008, the physician told me that they were seeing the problem, and they asked if I could help. My initial thought was raise the price of generics so that they're not so poorly profitable. You know, 6% of $100 is $6. The physician asked if I could do more, and that's how Oncology Analytics was born. And we started to look at a lot of different things about how to effectively implement a program and make sure that we always consider the patient's best interest at heart. And that's when we came up with the mission statement. And my wife was my oncology nurse for a couple of decades. And we looked at this and said, you know, if we're going to do this, the first thing we have to do is to make sure that everything we do is in the best interest of the patient. The second thing, and patients don't even know who we are. We're behind the scenes. The second thing is we have to make sure that we work collaboratively and in a very appropriate manner with our physician colleagues, never suggesting a less costly treatment if more costly is better. And as we all know, there's major issues about the cost of drugs in the United States. But if a drug's expensive, then, and it's the best treatment, that's the end of the story for us. That's what we would support. But we figured if we did that, keep the best interests of the patient at heart always, make sure that we do the right thing so that our colleagues, our physician colleagues, respect us, and when we get into conversations, that they don't look at us as a company that simply says, no, we're not going to pay for that. The answer is no. We always look at things based on evidence, that if we do that, we'll reduce costs for the health plan and reduce the profitability of the pharmaceutical industry. And as a premise, We don't really care about that. We care about patients, physicians, and the cost of care. So that's really what our incentive was to do this. Before actually getting started, I thought that there'd be a major opportunity to reduce cost, some opportunity to improve quality, not a lot, but there is some opportunity to improve quality. And when we looked at the data that we had available, we made a prediction, and we've actually exceeded the prediction. We predicted that in the market where we started, that we could reduce cost by $7.50 per member per month in a Medicare population. And we did, and when you multiply that out, that comes to about $1 billion a year in pharmaceuticals that aren't helping people. And of course, you can always get adverse reactions to drugs, no matter what drug. And so it's not helping people. Patients are paying copays in these drugs. And we thought, wow, this is a great opportunity to do something of value.
Most definitely. And thanks for giving us a thorough breakdown on how everything came together to create Oncology Analytics. So how did you go about starting the company? Get into some of those details. I'm sure that would be helpful.
Well, the first thing is to have a structure, goals. And I realized, because in practice, you take care of patients, and that's what I did for my career. But with a company, you need a mission, and you need very clear vision of where you want to go. And where we wanted to go was to improve patient quality and cost, call it quality and value, and reduce cost because there is so much waste, and to help our physician colleagues. So the first thing was, what are the parameters that we will find clinically acceptable? And we thought about that, discussed it internally, and said we will never, ever reduce the quality of care. We will not tarnish our image, our reputation. And so if a company wants to say, well, you know, a vial of medication costs $1,000 and you're only using a tenth of a vial, how about giving the patient less? No, that's don't work with us if you want us to do that. The second thing is the simplifying things for treating physicians. And when you go back 9 years, we were actually pioneers in the use of software in this realm, because treating physicians, just going back, you know, a short period of time, if they were looking for a prior authorization for a patient with advanced colon cancer, they might have to fax 10, 20, 30 pages to a company that would review them manually and get back to them in a week and say that they approved the treatment. Our position was, we're dealing with board-certified specialists, and if one of my colleagues says the patient has advanced colon cancer, I believe him. And we know in oncology, if you treat somebody for cancer and they don't have it, you're in serious trouble. You'll end up in the newspaper and maybe lose your license. But at the end of the day, treating physicians, oncologists, they know this. There are things that are subtle, and those are the things we discuss. But if a treating physician says, my patient has advanced colon cancer and I want to use standard treatment, we don't take a week to approve it. We do it with the click of a button. We created software, and that was really part of the initial concept, make things easier for physicians. And in order to do that, we were able to create software where if a treating physician indicates the patient's diagnosis and stage of disease and clicks something that is standard treatment, supported by basically all of the guidelines and everything else, and it's cost effective, they would get an immediate authorization. They wouldn't have to wait, you know, a week or two, and they wouldn't have to fax all sorts of papers to reviewers. And that was really very, very well received by treating physicians. That was the basic structure. And the use of the software was a critical element. It enables us to collect a lot of data so that we can determine where we can focus our resources. So if there's a drug that's very expensive and it's not necessary, but it's not being used a lot or not being used at all, we don't have to focus our resources there. But if we see that a drug is being used inappropriately frequently, that's where we really delve into the science and come to the physicians with overwhelming evidence why there is not sufficient support, or maybe there's better support for other treatments that are more cost-effective. We point out flaws in study design. When I say flaws, they're not really flaws. Pharmaceutical industry-sponsored studies are designed in a fashion to support the pharmaceutical industry study drug. And we point out how the study designs do that. And this enables us to be pretty effective when we're speaking with treating physicians. And there's another thing that I always keep in mind, and I make sure that employees at Oncology Analytics keep in mind, is that when we reduce cost, we're helping patients. We don't know which patients, because we don't know the economic circumstances of each patient. But we do know that medical care, health care, is the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, and cancer care is the number one cause of medical bankruptcy. And I've seen this. And what happens is that you have a patient who is deteriorating, and besides dying of cancer, they're worried about what's going to happen to their family and all of the other things, the other hardships that go along with bankruptcy. And so it's real. And so when we reduce costs because a patient doesn't need a drug, if that patient actually needs the money, and often they do, because you're talking about a lot of money, then we're actually, helping improve the patient's quality of life. And to give you an idea in terms of, dollars, because they're not trivial, you can treat cancer in the bone, spread to the bone, for about $50 a month, or just under $2,000. And if you're paying 20% copay with your policy, then obviously the difference is just a few dollars versus maybe $400 a month every month. That could be the discretionary income for a lot of people, and so they end up not being able to enjoy their lives. So that's one of the things that we think about to try to always try to help patients.
Today we are joined by Dr. Mark Fishman, the CEO and founder of Oncology Analytics, that provides comprehensive oncology benefit management services in the areas of chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and genetic testing to health plans for its members and provider network here on Entrepreneurial Fit Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tell us, Dr. Fishman, how is your company different from others offering similar services?
From what I see, we're the only company, despite the fact that we actually are smaller than our competitors, we devote a lot of resources to understanding the science and the evidence behind behind treatments. As I mentioned, I think that when you understand how studies are designed, you can have a greater impact on treating physicians in the peer review process. And we really focus a lot on clinical excellence. We have a distinguished academic advisory board that includes key opinion leaders in each of the subspecialties in medical oncology and radiation therapy now, and genetic testing, people who are very, very well recognized in the field. So if I call somebody and say, this is what I think based on our internal discussions, people may well say, well, why should I care what Dr. Fishman thinks? If I mention the name of a academic advisor, they'll take their opinion. So we really focus on the clinical excellence. We update our database multiple times a day based on the enormous changes in oncology care. So I think that's probably a key differentiator that enables us to be more successful in impacting treating physicians. Because at the end of the day, there's not that much that treating physicians are requesting that's actually wrong, where we can just simply say, hey, there's no evidence for that, or it's obsolete, so we really can't approve it. It's a very small percentage. More often, it's the type of thing where somebody requests something for $10,000 where $100 is just as good. And it's very, very difficult for people, especially patients, people tend to think if you're spending more money, you're probably getting something better. It's not true. And we don't have time now to go into those details, but it isn't true. And if you're spending more money, you're just buying pharmaceuticals that that help the manufacturer. So we have the clinical excellence to be able to demonstrate those details, and I believe that enables us to be more impactful. We also have the analytics to be able to know where to focus our resources, because with so many changes, you can't focus your resources everywhere. We're able to identify precisely where. For example, I'm just reviewing a spreadsheet now where a treating physician is used he's using $150 worth of chemotherapy to treat a patient for colon cancer, and he's using supportive medications the patient doesn't need that cost $10,000 a month. We try to stop that. The patient doesn't need the medication, they can still have the adverse reactions, and it's a total waste. Identifying these physicians is the key thing, and we can do that too.
So tell us, what do you envision for oncology analytics looking into the future?
Well, we have our mission, and the mission is straightforward. It's assuring that each patient gets high-quality, high-value cancer care, and then we can move into other fields and do the same. But we have a longer-term mission, and that's honestly to change various aspects of healthcare, because we're number one in cost and nowhere near number one. I think we're in the 30s somewhere in quality of care as measured by various parameters. When we first started and we saw the reduction in cost that we were achieving, we started looking at other programs, because all sorts of entities, including Medicare, are trying to reduce costs. And we saw that within our little part of medicine, just oncology pharmaceuticals at that time, we were achieving greater success than just about every program out there. And we were doing it differently. We were doing it collaboratively with treating physicians instead of trying to tell treating physicians what to do. So we think that this model is something that can be more broadly accepted. The other thing is to align incentives. We create fee schedules and various other types of programs that don't try to make doctors earn more money by using less costly medications, but by aligning the incentives. We have a patent on something called normalization fees, so that if a treating physician is using a $10,000 drug or a $100 drug, they're not so badly penalized financially. They don't make the same amount of money, you know, say $600 or $1,000 on just the drug. They don't have the risk of buying a drug that is never reimbursed that's cost $10,000. But all of the programs that we do try to realign incentives so physicians don't lose so much money by practicing cost-effective care. The other thing, which we were talking about in 2009, but now everybody's aware of, is the disconnect between pharmaceutical pricing and value. A lot of the new drugs are great, but they're too costly, and there's no control because of the requirement that Medicare pay for a drug that's approved by the pharmaceutical industry. So there's a whole mechanism there that's legislative. I once had the opportunity to speak with the chairman of the Medicare committee in Washington about this, and I'm not the only one, but that has to change because the environment that we live in now is that the pharmaceutical industry designs clinical trials, most of them, as opposed to the university setting in the old days with the study groups. The study groups, they want to design trials to try to determine what's the best treatment for the patient. The pharmaceutical industry designs trials that, as I mentioned earlier, tries to determine how they can best sell their drug. So instead of using the strongest possible control, which the old study groups did and they still do, the pharmaceutical industry tries to use the weakest possible control, or placebo. And that way they can show that their drug is better than nothing. And we really ought to change that and make sure that there's value for the pharmaceuticals that people are taking and that pricing is appropriate, because also, the country is not going to be able to afford things when we now have treatments that are $500,000. There's one treatment that's $150,000 a month for 3 months, and then about $40,000 a month for 3 years, two or three years, sorry, I think it's. And then and when these patients are treated in hospital, you can triple or quadruple that. And that's just for one patient. So our vision is to have an impact on healthcare policy to make it more rational. And we're working towards that goal by trying to have legislative impact and also by having a favorable impact on the nationally recognized guidelines. The National Comprehensive Cancer Network has guidelines, and we're actually the only entity that has ever petitioned the NCCN to change their guidelines for the benefit of the patients, as opposed to vendors trying to petition the NCCN to change their guidelines for the benefit of the vendor. We're the only entity that's ever done that. So these are the things that we try to do to achieve the mission, the longer-term vision of improving quality and value for all patients in all fields in the United States.
Dr. Fishman, thanks so much for joining us here today. We really do appreciate all that you do within the healthcare space and the impact that you're having. In 60 seconds or less, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a final tip, or anything else that you'd like to share in conclusion?
The Fishman corollary to Murphy's Law. One of my colleagues looked at me one day and said, "Mark, you're working really, really hard." And I said, "Yeah, I'm working harder than I've ever worked." And he said, "But it's fun. If it's fun, it's not really work." And I said, "It's fun the first 12 hours of a day." So for the potential entrepreneurs out there who are thinking of starting a business, this has been a lot of fun, but not always, because there's been a lot of days and 7 days a week that have been a lot more than 12 hours. But we're achieving something of value, and that's very, very gratifying. And thank you very much.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Before you go, where can listeners get all the details on Oncology Analytics?
Thank you. The website is www.oncologyanalytics.com. It's one word, oncologyanalytics.com. Thanks again.
And again, you're more than welcome, and thanks for joining us here today. Continued success, and thanks for your time.
You too. My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
We have been speaking with Dr. Mark Fishman, the CEO and founder of Oncology Analytics, that provides comprehensive oncology benefit management services in the areas of chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and genetic testing to health plans for its members and provider network. And for all the details, visit oncologyanalytics.com. And this has been Eric Dye for Entrepreneurial Fit Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location, as we are now streaming around the world 24/7. At epodcastnetwork.com/live, with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also access our live stream on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app, as well as iTunes Radio, for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Entrepreneurial Fit Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.